Have you done something different with your skincare regime this week?
I haven't.
It looks like you've exfoliated or something. Your skin's looking really good. Drinking more water?
I haven't been doing anything special. More whiskey, maybe.
You heard it here first, folks. Drinking whiskey improves complexion. People will be taking that advice and going with it, I reckon.
Will they?
So I'm going to give you a choice this week.
Okay.
How would you like to categorise? I've got a couple of joke options. Would you like to categorise them by length or animal type?
Animal type.
Okay. I've got one about a Dalmatian or a caterpillar.
Let's go with caterpillar.
Oh, that's a long one.
Is it?
Are you sure you want that one?
I'm sorry, viewers, listeners. Go on, Pete. Get on with it.
So a man gets himself a talking pet caterpillar and brings him home. And he says, do you want to go out tonight to the pub? Because people will love you, talking pet caterpillar. And caterpillar goes, yeah, okay, let's do it. He says, go and get ready then. He says, yeah, okay. So 5 minutes later, the guy's thinking, what's taking him so long? So he says, are you coming? He says, yeah, yeah, I'm coming. Just getting ready. 5 minutes later, come on, are you ready yet? And it's like, yeah, nearly. 20 minutes later, caterpillar's still not ready. So he calls up the stairs. He says, what is taking you so long? He says, I'm nearly there. I'll just put my shoes on.
You know, when someone starts a joke and you think it's a caterpillar, it's going to be about shoes, isn't it? Or feet. And then like 3 years later, we get to the punchline and it is indeed exactly what you were expecting.
I'm sorry about that.
What about the Dalmatian?
Well, I spotted an albino Dalmatian the other day.
Yeah.
It's the least I could do.
See, that one was good.
Because it was over quickly.
Well, that's the best kind of jokes. We're back after a week off. Did you enjoy your week off, Pete?
I did, yes. I got some walking and some climbing in. Climbed up a few mountains.
Now, since you were away, I thought to myself, I'm going to go away as well. So I got on my motorcycle and I went to Cornwall for a few days.
Very nice.
It was freezing cold, but the sun was out and it was great. But the thing about motorbiking is that after a long journey, you arrive at your hotel, your accommodation for the evening, and you have what is known as helmet hair. And the shape of your helmet will have indeed imprinted this kind of weird shape onto your hair. But as I'm getting older, I've got less hair on the top of my head.
So does that mean you don't have any helmet hair?
No, it means that helmet hair is not a good look,
right?
Not even remotely. And the girl that took me up to show me my room, 2 hours later, after I cleaned myself up and everything, she didn't even recognise me. It's quite distressing, actually, getting old, as you'll know, Pete, because, Erin's laughing over there. You look in the mirror and there's this old ugly guy staring back at me. And it's quite depressing. I said to my wife,
I don't have that particular issue. Just a guy, fairly charming. You know, got that sort of mature, aged look that, you know, chicks dig. But carry on.
So I look in the mirror and I said to my wife, you know, I'm depressed because there's this old ugly guy staring back at me. So I need you to give me a nice compliment to cheer me up. So she said, well, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight.
Oh, top banana.
I think it's a bit unkind, really.
It is.
Honestly, before I met my wife, I was incomplete, Pete, and now I'm finished.
Excellent.
So we've done the jokes, so we ought to get into some actual stuff.
Yes.
So our main topic this week is going to be talking about Apple's self-service repair. So if you're new to the channel and you've spotted the thumbnail and thought, I'd like to listen to or watch some content on that, and 5 minutes later, after some terrible jokes, you're still waiting for that content.
Keep waiting because we've got the news and some other bits yet, but it is coming. We'll probably do a little skippy thing if you don't want to listen to this.
For people who can't.
Bantasaurus Rex.
This is how the podcast works. It's about an hour of me and Pete just sort of chatting and stuff.
Trading insults.
Welcome to new subscribers anyway. We certainly have a few, so thank you very much for joining us. And if you're not subscribed to our main channel yet as well, that's youtube.com/constantgeekery. And if you're listening to us on Spotify and iTunes and you want to find us, you can go to the main channel or you can go to youtube.com/
The Constant Geekery Podcast.
There we go.
And then you'll see really quite how old and ugly we both are.
Mm. So next week is the end of our season two, or end of our 2021 podcasting. And we're going to do a live show. And the idea behind the live show is that we get to interact with you guys. So we'll be answering your questions about Apple Silicon, about tech, about getting old, drinking whiskey, motorcycles, or hiking, or anything really that you want to talk about. Who indeed is Erin? Is she an artificial intelligence?
Intelligence is a stretch.
Wow. You know, what did Tom do to his chin and his teeth? Those are interesting questions that you may want to know the answers to.
So. And can I just say, before we get into the meat of things, I do feel like you've been battered a bit recently. So can I just say that I don't think you've got any uglier with age.
Thanks. That was a loaded compliment. Harsh. We've settled on a time. We were wondering what time we should do our live broadcast.
Tricky, because we got listeners literally around the world.
Yeah, so whatever we do, we're going to upset somebody. We're going to go with 6 p.m. UK time. So at the moment, we're on GMT. So you'll have to work that out. And we'll set that up imminently so that you can your YouTube will notify you of it. And we will record the audio and post the audio from the live podcast as well.
If you can be here, it'll be great to have you. Obviously, the last event we did was the Apple event with the release of the new Macs. And we had loads, but that was on the main channel.
Mm.
So we're not expecting that many. But if we can get a little core of you together, that will be lovely. Have a little chat and talk about things.
It'll be nice and cozy. Mm. So the topics that are up for discussion, I suspect we'll talk about Apple Silicon. You know, it's basically a year of M1. We've done a lot of testing. I'll be honest, I'm a little bit tired of it. So I think we can talk about that. I'd like to talk about my experience with the M1 iPad Pro. After 6 months, I think it's about 6 months now. We've obviously got the M1 Pro and Max chips, the new MacBook Pro chassis as well to talk about. I think we ought to talk about Apple Silicon, the software transition. We ought to talk about what's happening in the next year. What do we expect? So all of those things we'll be talking about next week.
Yeah. And anything else perhaps that you want to, you know, maybe drop us a line about? Mm. It'd be great. We want it to be something of interest to you guys, so. Let us know in the comments or drop us an email. What's the email?
So podcast@constantgeekery.com. So elsewhere in the news.
Yeah, Jack Dorsey has resigned as CEO of Twitter. He's been there since, he's one of the co-founders, wasn't he? 2006, he's been CEO since. So interestingly, the share spiked when he did that.
Yeah, it's almost like people are happy about it. I don't know anything about him or what he does.
Well, Twitter's a vile place on the whole, so I don't know much about it. But although the share spiked, they did actually finish 2% down on their opening, so it was only a spike.
I think looking at the letter he wrote to his staff, so one of the things he was saying is it's time to sort of step back and let someone else carry the torch. And I think that's something that you and I identify with.
Mm, definitely.
Because we've done something similar with our own business where we put a managing director in place and we've kind of stepped back a bit.
That's UK equivalent of a CEO, by the way.
Mm. So, it's one of those things that happens when you grow a business. You eventually sort of run out of creative energy and it's time for others to take on the torch, as it were.
Step into the breach.
Mm. Do we expect major changes at Twitter? I doubt it, because the guy they've appointed as CEO was behind most of the recent changes anyway. So
yeah, which you can, from a business continuity point of view, makes sense to have someone in that knows the business already, although some might argue that means that it won't be as innovative as it otherwise could be, but who knows.
I just want to talk, we're going to get onto our main topic in a moment, but I want to just quickly mention Black Friday.
What's that?
It's a very sucky thing. I mean how long has it been over here? It sort of invaded the UK a few years back. And it's become a big thing over here, just like it is in America. I don't really understand it, because I've always had the impression that stuff that is on offer for Black Friday isn't really on offer. It's a careful inflation of prices before and then a reduction. But I wondered if this is indeed the case, because I have seen some genuinely good deals. interestingly, Samsung, I'm going to talk about Samsung. So their latest Fold version 3 mm-hmm. phone, they're offering it at 20% discount, or they have been over Black Friday, and with a free note kit with the pen and everything.
Oh, cool.
Could you imagine Apple knocking 20% off their flagship iPhone
no.
a couple of months after it launched? No. Interesting.
But some might argue there's a reason for that.
Yes, perhaps. Who knows? I thought that was interesting. But you'll remember that I said to you back along, I went into a local electrical retailer and I happened to see some Samsung S7 Galaxy tabs, the S7 and the S7 Plus, and they had their keyboard cover on and they were, you know.
Yeah.
I had a good look at them in the shop and I was really impressed by the quality of the screens.
Can you show everyone your impressed face? Excellent. Good.
They're just, you know, really vivid, look really good. Definitely as good as the iPad Pro screen. No shadows around the edges that I could see either.
That must have been a bonus.
Indeed. And they were on offer. And I think that's because the S7 is probably due to be replaced by the S8 at some point soon. I'm not up to speed on my Samsung anymore. Have had a few Samsung tablets in the past. I looked at the prices anyway, and I thought, well, that's quite favourable. It was almost enough to tempt me to get one in just to play around with and test on the channel. But I thought, I'll hang on, and I'll see what happens on Black Friday. Let's see what happens to these amazing prices. And the tablets are hanging around. Black Friday comes along, and it now gets advertised on that same retailer's website as a Black Friday deal with the exact same pricing that it's been at for the past month. So it was already discounted. Now, here's the interesting thing. So I then, out of interest only, watched this over the next few days on a few different retailers' websites and Samsung's own websites, and these things have sold out over that period of time because everybody thinks it's an amazing Black Friday deal, but it wasn't a Black Friday deal.
It was just a deal.
It was just a good deal that you could have had before Black Friday as well.
And this goes to show something that we're very aware of because, you know, part of what our agency does is digital marketing, is that there are techniques that we use as marketers to encourage people to buy things. And one of them is fear of missing out, FOMO. So if you say this is a Black Friday deal, you know, you can only get it for these days, then suddenly you think, oh, if I don't get it now, I'll lose out. See the same thing with hotel websites and things like that. Yeah, there's only a few rooms remaining. And it triggers primal responses in the brain to do certain things. So just be aware of it. It's very hard to resist, even if you are aware it's being done to you as well. So interesting bit of psychology there.
Yeah, and I'm not saying every Black Friday deal is rubbish. You know, there's a lot of this going on and I think a lot of people go out and buy stuff that maybe they probably wouldn't have done if it weren't for all of the hype.
Mm.
Anyway, it's time to get into our main topic. And we want to talk about Apple's new self-service repair.
Yeah, which has kind of come out of the blue, really, a week or so ago.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I don't imagine loads of people are going to be searching and watching our content on YouTube because we're a bit slow to react to it. But I wanted to take a bit of time, really, just to figure out what exactly it was they were doing, because the press release isn't exactly loaded down with details, is it?
No, and as is often the case with these things, the devil is in the detail, as we found out before, particularly with Apple.
Hmm. So if you're unfamiliar with this, then there's a lot of people who are concerned about right to repair. And right to repair has become something of a political issue. And one of the things that we don't do on the podcast, or try not to, is get involved with politics. However, the principles of right to repair, it's if you buy something, you own it. And you should be able to repair it if it goes wrong.
Yeah.
But the manufacturers of certain products don't really want you to do that. And Apple is one of the manufacturers that is coming under fire for this, but by no means the only manufacturer. I think Tesla have had quite a bit of grief over it. And John Deere is a big example where they, you know, if you've got a John Deere tractor, you want to get any kind of repair done, you've got to go back to John Deere.
Is it John Deere or John Deere-y? Because I've heard people say it both ways, including tractor owners.
I've always known it as John Deere.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. I am sometimes wrong.
You were wrong once.
Back in Yeah, it was a while ago. But
back in the 50s.
Yeah. So is Apple responding to this? I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in the United States with this. Lots of different states have got court cases or hearings to discuss right to repair. And these big companies are lobbying and doing everything they can to suggest that there's no need for people to be able to repair their devices, or that it creates a security risk, or all of these other nonsense things, like somehow changing your battery is a security risk on your phone.
Or a fire risk, which, you know.
So here's the proposition. So Apple have announced self-service repair. Pete, do you want to take us through the proposition whilst I take a glug of water from my Constant Geekery mug?
Yes. So along with Apple Authorized Service Providers, or ASPs, and Independent Repair Providers, or IRPs, customers will now be able to access genuine Apple parts and tools to be able to fix their own devices in some cases. So that's going to start with the iPhone 12 and 13. With the options coming for M1 Max in 2022 or later anyway. Specifically with the iPhone 12 and 13, though, it's going to focus on commonly serviced parts to begin with. So that's the display, the battery, the camera, and potentially other items coming again in 2022. And it will be available in the US from 2022. I think early 2022 is what they're saying, and then other countries will follow.
Okay, so interesting proposition. Sounds quite good, because generally speaking, actually, if you've got a problem with your iPhone, it is going to be one of those things. You've either dropped it and you need to replace the display. The batteries do wear out at the end of the day, don't they? And I've never had a camera issue, but I know some people have. Mm-hmm. And iPhones, yes, there are. You get problems with iPhones just like you do with any tech product. So there are other things that fail on them. But for the most part, they do last a long time. And Apple does support them for quite a long time.
And the only time I've ever had a problem with an iPhone, or known someone in my family or extended circle of friend to have problems with their iPhone, is where they've damaged it. So they've dropped it. You know, I had to have a screen replaced a few years ago because I dropped it. I've never had something just stop working. I'm not saying that's, you know, unusual. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But normally I find if you look after your device as a whole, that tends to be okay.
Yeah. I'm just going to look up the prices for Apple screen replacement whilst I talk about the next bit, which is that customers need to review a repair manual first. Now, what we're not told is what sort of manual that is, but they need to be able to decide whether they can safely perform a repair. I shall deploy the air quotes there, because that is indeed what Apple said. Can they safely perform a repair? So what then happens is, once you've decided that you can indeed safely perform a repair on your iPhone, is that you will place the order for the parts using the Apple self-service repair online store.
And which will be operated by a third party, by the way.
Will it?
Not Apple themselves.
Interesting.
They haven't said which third party, as of my last
research. I hope it's not the same third party that repairs HP's laptops.
It comes with all the parts and a black Sharpie. Yeah.
So if you're not familiar with that story, the place had obviously run out of black screws, so they put silver screws in my laptop and coloured them in with a Sharpie, and part of the laptop as well. I kid you not.
Imagine what if they were brass screws or something like that. They would have had to have got a gold Sharpie. Can you imagine?
Unbelievable. Mm. Anyway, you've bought the part from whatever third party, and then you can return your used part for recycling to receive a credit.
Yes.
Now, is that a credit against a future purchase, or is that a credit against what you've already paid?
Well, we don't know. That's one of the details we're waiting to find out on. However, you know, fair play to Apple. I like the fact that they encourage you to return the part for recycling, because they're going to be able to recycle it a lot better than your local domestic recycling could.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of these parts, there's going to be precious metals and rare elements that Yeah, there's only so much of it in the earth. So I would say that is a tick for Apple there. Really good.
Yeah. So there's a lot of questions about this. And the first question is this actually something that people are going to want? The reason why I'm saying that is because I think the most common fault, other than a cracked screen, and those are quite expensive. I think it's £200 and something for most of the iPhone models to have Apple replace it. If you don't have AppleCare, we'll come back to AppleCare. For most of the phones for replacing a battery, it's £69. And for the older iPhone 6, 7, 8 and the SEs, it's £49 here in the UK. I imagine it's similar in the US, probably $69 and $49. Now, that's not a lot of money. So that includes all of the labor and everything. And it's a very efficient service. And quite often, in fact, Apple will do that without charge if the battery is faulty, because one of my sons had this where his battery had got to the point where it would overheat the device because it was discharging so quickly. And Apple replaced that completely free of charge.
That's pretty good.
Even though it was out of warranty and I didn't buy it from Apple.
And the nice thing about, like you say, £69 or £49, you know that they're going to do it right.
Hmm.
Yeah. If they don't, they're going to make it right.
Well, if it comes from Apple, it will look, they do the job properly, don't they? So questions are raised as a result of this. Because the iPhone is not an easy thing to dismantle.
No.
And we'll come back to that in a bit. So the question that I want to pose and then discuss is this great news for right to repair? Are people who've been campaigning for right to repair getting, I know some people are getting excited about this and thinking it's great news. Is it great news, do you think?
Well, I'm not so sure, because when you look at the context of that, a battery and the cost, it'll be interesting to see how much the battery costs. I think it's a start on that process, but it's not the right to repair that the right to repair evangelists looking for. They're talking about other things that go wrong with a phone. So things like charging ports, microphones, smaller component repairs.
I've been doing a bit of research on this, and I watched a video that Lewis Rossman put out on it. Because back in 2019, Apple started something called the Independent Repair Provider Program. You mentioned IRPs earlier. That's what Apple is referring to, these independent repairers. And ostensibly, they're supposed to get the same training, the same parts, the same tools that the ASPs get. So they're supposed to have access to everything. But actually, when it came down to it seems that it was very limited. Displays, batteries, that was included, but no charge points, no microphones, no Mac parts. So it's quite limiting. The other issue is to get the part. Yeah, if a customer brings in an iPhone with a cracked screen, what you've got to do is get the IMEI number for the phone and submit that with an order to order the part. And that can take up to a week, during which time the customer's doing what? That sounds wonderful. I'll be without my phone for a week. People don't accept that. So for independent repair stores, I don't think it's been an amazing thing.
No, it's not a viable way of doing business, is it?
And the other issue that they have as well is they have to sign a very restrictive agreement to be able to have this status. And if they have any components in stock that they shouldn't have, Apple can remove them from the program.
Yeah.
Now, this is what Lewis Rossman was talking about, because, of course, he does component-level repair. And so he has components from various different sources so that he can repair these devices. So by virtue of the fact he has those things, he doesn't qualify to be in the independent repair program. And if he was in that program, he wouldn't be able to do the majority of his work. So his point is that it was a meme program. It was a PR stunt.
Mm.
It wasn't a real thing. Yeah. And so is self-repair going to be the same? Because so far it seems like it might have some similar limitations.
Yeah, it does seem that way. There's still a lot of questions about that. I'm just trying to catch up on my notes here.
Well, And take charge ports for an example. I mean, that's quite a common fault on phones because, you know, people carry their phone around in their pocket or in their bag and bits and pieces get in the charge port and then the cable goes in and you can see how those things get damaged. So that's quite a common repair. According to Lewis Rossman, that's one of the most common faults that he gets.
And one of my friends once got part of a banana in their charge port.
Did they? Which part of the banana?
The fleshy bit.
You know the bit at the bottom of the banana?
The handle.
The bananas, as I like to call it. The bit that you can't eat.
Well, you can.
You probably don't. What you should do, when you peel a banana, you should actually hold the stalk and then peel from the bananas end. And apparently that's the right way to eat them.
Mm. Yes, I've heard that as well. Mm. And yet we don't.
And yet we don't. It's more messy.
Mm.
Don't know. How do you peel your banana, Erin? From the bottom.
Of what, from the bananas end?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you hold the stalk. So you do it. You do it the way the experts say is correct, the messy way, but that gives you a handle. Yeah. Well done.
Interesting. What about you, Tom? Tom doesn't eat bananas.
What about you, listeners? Let us know in the comments.
Of course, our listeners won't be able to hear Tom and Erin talking, but they are here. I promise you.
Tom doesn't eat bananas, and Erin doesn't exist, as we've already established. So. You got a message there, Dave.
This is all going wrong, isn't it? Let's get back to the point. So,
charge ports, very common fault.
Yes, but that doesn't seem to be included. Although, what they are saying is there's 200, more than 200 individual parts and tools available. Yet they only mention displays, batteries, and
yeah. So again, we'll need to see what those are before we can start making an assessment on.
Mm. And of course, that information hasn't been published yet.
What about, because we're talking about iPhone 12 and 13 here, so what about older phones?
Yeah, I think that they may not be included because, you know, they also said M1 Max, whereas there's all sorts of noises going on in the studio today. M1 Max, why not Intel Max?
Yeah, I have heard the story, in fact, I've seen some evidence that if you replace an older screen that isn't authorized by Apple, then things like FaceTime will just stop working.
Mm.
But you can put the old screen back on and it will start working again. So I suspect there's possibly some skullduggery in the code or in the hardware of older machines or devices, sorry, to prevent this that they can't undo maybe.
Don't know.
But they've known this is coming, so the newer devices support it.
But I don't think they do they? Because I've watched, is it Hugh Jeffries? He did a teardown of the, certainly watched the iPhone 12. And if you swap, I think he swapped the camera modules between two identical phones and they stopped working.
Right, okay. On a 12 or a 13?
I think it was a 12.
Okay, I like Hugh Jeffries. He was good in X-Men.
Okay. I don't watch X-Men.
He was also in Les Miserables.
Is that a musical?
Mm. Mm. Do you not watch that either?
No. Okay. I've watched the non-musical version, which is good. One of my faves, actually.
Not surprised that one of your favourite things has miserable in it.
Well.
Okay. Anyway, sorry.
It's not just Apple that does this, by the way. Samsung do the same thing with disabling cameras and stuff if you try to change the software on the phone. We talked about that earlier in the year. One of the reasons, though, that people would want to take their device to an independent is all to do with pricing and component-level repair. So when we're saying component-level repair, let me give you an example. And this is one that, again, Lewis Rossman quoted. But suppose you've got an older 13-inch MacBook Pro and the display is faulty. There's nothing wrong with the backlight. There's nothing wrong with anything else. It's just the LCD panel that's faulty. So you can take that to Lewis Rossman, and he can source a panel for about $70, and then he'll charge you, obviously, his time for fitting that. So you're just replacing the one thing that needs to be replaced. And again, you could have the same thing with an iPhone. You know, sometimes you just crack the glass, and all it needs is the glass. It might be the digitizer. It might be the screen. You know, so there are lots of different components involved. But what Apple will do is they'll do like a complete...
The whole assembly, basically.
Yeah. So what they'll do is they'll change the whole top case of the laptop. So the metal outside bit, hinge, the backlight, the screen, the glass front, everything. And that, you know, Lewis Rossman was saying, was about $450 for the 13-inch. But I'm pretty sure he was quoting eBay prices there. I don't know what Apple would charge if you went into their store. Probably more than that.
Now, can I be devil's advocate for a moment? Not for any reason other than for the sake of balance. But I can understand why Apple choose or have chosen in the past to do that.
Mm.
Because if you're going into an independent and you just want a component repaired, you expect a lower price and what have you. If you're going to Apple and let's say they do what the independent repairers like Lewis Rossman do and just replace the one component, often, you know, you could, from an Apple point of view, there could be other problems brewing. You know, particularly if something's been dropped, yes, it may be the digitizer or the screen or something that's damaged, but often there's probably other parts imminently going to fail. So it's more of a belt and braces Apple quality approach that we're going to replace the whole thing and then you don't have to worry. Whereas if you go to an independent repairer, chances are you just replace what you need to because I need this on the cheap and I'll take my chances. So I can understand why Apple have taken that approach in the past.
Okay, so another viewpoint for this is that it's easier to train people to replace assemblies than it is to teach them how to do component level repair.
Of course.
Soldering under a microscope is
it's a real skill. It's a real skill.
So I think Apple is primarily doing this because it makes it possible. But I guess the argument of people like Lewis Rossman is that why not give people the choice? If you want to take your machine back to Apple and have that kind of service on it, and I totally get your point. Some people will want that experience and they'll want that peace of mind. But give them the option.
Yeah, so let the independent repairers do what they do. You know, Lewis Rossman and his team are incredibly skilled and some of that work is incredibly intricate. To do it and then put it back together in the way they do is amazing. But yeah, let the ERPs do what they need to do and give people the choice.
Yeah, I think so. I want to give another example of this as well, because there's also an environmental concern here that some people might take issue with. When Apple did the magic keyboard thing on the laptops, and this got lambasted universally, I mean, they felt horrible. But of all of the laptops that we had with those keyboards, to my knowledge, only one failed. And that was mine.
Mm.
And when I say it failed, it would occasionally put a double space in when you press the space bar. That was all. But that's irritating enough. So I contacted Apple. It went away for repair. And they replace the entire top case of the unit. So it's not just it's a keyboard with the top case, with the speakers, I think, with the microphones, with the trackpad as well. It's the whole thing. So and the battery. They've got a new battery as well. So this is one of the problems. You know, again, individual keyboard, $40, entire bottom case assembly, $321 was the example Lewis Rossman showed, and that's used grade A on eBay. So if you go to Apple for this stuff and you're out of warranty, and the keyboards are slightly different because Apple have an extended program of keyboard replacement, but if you go to Apple with an issue that needs component level repair, they won't do that. If you've got an issue with something on the logic board, they'll swap the whole logic board out. And because your RAM and your SSD are soldered onto the board, it's a whole new computer essentially.
Yep.
And so the cost out of warranty makes it completely pointless to do that because you'll be within $100 or so of the price of a new machine that will be better. And I think that's one of the big issues that people take with this. Recycling aside, is that this is not an environmentally friendly way to deal with kit and equipment.
No, We've got a helicopter going overhead. Welcome to the noisiest podcast I think we've ever had, but we're going to run with it. No, I agree. Choice is what it's about. I mean, it's similar to car, isn't it? You know, there were some changes in legislation quite a few years ago now in the UK. I don't know what it's like in the States or other countries. Perhaps you can tell us, but it used to be that if you bought a Jaguar or Volkswagen or that, it would only stay in warranty if you got it serviced at a main authorized dealer. And that was changed so that you could go and get it serviced at an independent.
As long as it's got genuine parts, I believe.
That's right. But gradually over time, that's changed to make it more accessible and give people the choice. And, you know, sometimes, let's face it, I mean, we've been in situations in our lives where we've been keeping our cars running with sort of sticky back plastic and elastic bands. And, you know, you literally just, you do the bare minimum. And we respect that some people, that's all they can do. And Apple should recognize that and allow that.
Hmm. So I think it's a step in the right direction. No one could argue against that. It's a step in the right direction. But I think we need to really see what the pricing is going to be like to see... and see how that recycling credit is going to work as well, to be able to assess whether people are actually going to do this. I mean, here's a few questions that I came up with for consideration with this. But the repair manual, is that a full service repair manual for the entire iPhone, or is it a very limited kind of user-friendly, dumbed-down version?
I bet you it'll be the latter.
Mm. We don't know that, though.
I bet you it'll be the latter, though. Okay. We don't know that, though.
No. What about your warranty?
Yeah, this is the one that immediately came to mind. If you do the repair yourself, will the warranty end?
Mm. Yeah. And do you need to buy expensive tools to disassemble the products? Because your iPhone has no screws on it.
It's all glued together, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they used to have screws at the bottom. I don't think they do anymore.
Yeah, some of the older ones do.
You need something to heat it up. So you've got to have some kind of hot plate thing to warm everything up. I mean, and if you're going to be opening these things, you really do need the tool to get it done because they're glued together.
Yeah. iFixit produce a whole load of tools that do all that. This isn't sponsored, by the way, but they do produce a whole load of tools so that you can service it yourself. But again, you need to think about that, don't you? Because it's not just the skills. You've then got to think, right, if I need to buy a load of tools, particularly the Apple ones, and will Apple say you can only use their tools to qualify for this program, all that kind of stuff? Is it going to be the case you're going to buy a tool that you only use once? And does that make it economically viable? You know, if you're repairing stuff all the time, then of course you get the best tools you can afford.
Well, I would have thought this is the blocker for everybody. If you're going to change the screen or the battery or anything on your iPhone, you have to be able to get it open. And the machine to get it open is over $200. Or you've got to do some kind of, you know, budget. I mean, I just think for the amount of hassle and effort, when a battery repair is at £49 or £69, I wouldn't even think about it.
No.
I would just send it to Apple and get them to fix it at those kind of prices. So it doesn't matter what price they charge the battery at. For me, paying £49 or £69 is worth, you know, my time is just taking it apart. It's just not worth it, and having the tools and everything. Mm. So at what point do you get to a level of pricing where somebody's actually going to think, yeah, I do want to take this on myself and I want to buy all the equipment that I'm only going to use once in order to do it?
Yeah, that it could end up being more expensive, couldn't it? It's going to be interesting to see how this pans out, but I completely agree with you. Mm. So what about the new MacBook Pros? Because they are easier to repair than the previous generation, aren't they?
Yeah, so in the teardowns, is it iFixit who did the teardown? They gave it a 4 out of 10. I think the last one had a 1 out of 10 repair score.
Still not a great score, is it, to be fair?
Well, no, it's not. But a lot of that is down to components being soldered onto the logic board. Mm. And so that you're limited in what you can do anyway.
And again, Apple are by no means the exception to that. That's very, very common. If you want a small chassis, you need to do that, really.
It is. I think soldering SSDs is fairly uniquely Apple. I know some people do that outside of Apple, but not usually on premium laptops. What a lot of people don't understand about the SSD is that the controller is part of the M1 chip. is Apple's own proprietary stuff. So I'm sure they could make it so that you could buy an off-the-shelf NVMe drive and pop it in, but they've chosen not to do that. And there's obviously some very cool trickery going on with the SSD in these things.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah. Apple can't keep standing in opposition to right to repair, because right to repair is gathering traction and it's becoming a bit of a social movement almost, if you like.
Apple do like social movements.
They do. Mm. They do. They like to be seen to be part of those things.
And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, obviously, we've had this press release. I think Tim Cook's talked about it a little bit. But I wouldn't be surprised if we'll have a lot of, you know, PR at some point, perhaps at the next Apple event, where they wax lyrical about how they've always been on the side of this and make it out that, you know, they've always been champions of the user and the right to repair. So it'll be very interesting, just like they have with environmental issues, that they'll adopt it and make it into a marketing piece.
Well, and why wouldn't they? I mean, they're making a big thing about environmental things. They've changed all their packaging. You know, they're doing genuinely good things with recycled materials. And repairability is all tied in with that. In fact, it's almost become a bit of a moral issue, I think, because of the environmental concerns. So I think, let's not forget as well that Apple is fighting multiple court cases on repair issues that individual customers are bringing.
Yep.
When they've been fleeced for a repair on something and they're taking Apple to court over it. And it costs Apple a fortune to keep fighting those things. So it makes sense that they're going to backtrack a bit. And, you know, if they take that position, and I think that Apple are presented with an opportunity here. They can go all out on this program and make it a genuinely decent thing. There will still be people arguing against it and all the rest of it who don't understand the commercial realities of doing business. But Apple can go a long way to resolving this, to winning over customers who would previously not have considered Apple. And I think they should do that. I think they should embrace it, because then they fight for the user, to quote a particular movie, and they come to the side of their customers. Yeah. Well, that's going to do them good.
And they have done that. You know, they've backtracked before. They've done it with, you know, ports and touch bars on the latest Macs. And what we have now in the new MacBook Pros is much more the Apple of 10 years ago. I think someone said that in the comments recently. So Apple do listen. And yeah, you can say, well, they haven't on this for a long time, but at least they are starting to now, and they should be commended for that. But there is another cynical thought, just to
go on.
Well, there are some that argue that Apple have reached the ceiling of what they can do in terms of market saturation with iPhones, particularly. So if that's true, adding, you know, more and more features to an iPhone, although I'm sure we will get new iPhones every year for the foreseeable. This could just be a cynical way of looking at another revenue stream. Yeah, much like, you know, getting on the environmental movement has, my wife got a new iPhone 13 the other day, and she's completely agnostic and ambivalent to all the stuff we talk about on the channel. So she opened it and she went, "Where's the plug?" It's like, "Oh, they don't give you one anymore." So she goes, "Oh, right, so you just use your old one." It's like, yeah. So she gets out the USB-C one and is trying to put it into a USB. And it's exactly the, so how do I, it's like, "Oh, you need to buy a new one." Fortunately, I've got one, so I gave her old one. But, you know, it's like that. They giveth with one hand and taketh away with the other.
Yeah, Apple will always do what's best for Apple, I think, is the answer there. It's an interesting thought about market saturation. I'd like to just counter that with another thought for a moment, because there are huge areas of the world where Apple has little to no market share.
That's true.
Because of the price of their devices. You know, you can go out and buy actually a pretty decent Android phone for, what, £150? You could get something quite good actually for that. You know, I'm not up to the level of a premium Samsung or something, but you can actually get a Samsung smartphone for £150.
You can.
They do exist. And at the end of the day, if you're taking photos and you're and you're making phone calls and sending text messages, they're fine, and they're a lot faster than the things that we were doing that on 10 years ago. There are certain market sectors, like let's take, for example, India. And India has a massive divide, doesn't it, between the rich and the majority of people are really quite poor.
Yeah.
I think a good monthly salary, and someone may correct me in the comments here, but I think a good monthly salary in India would be about £300, which is obviously a big difference to us here in the UK. So how can somebody with that kind of salary
spend £1,000 or £700 on a phone?
It's just not going to happen. I mean, some do, but it's a crazy kind of expense. Now, there's a huge market for Apple to produce low-cost devices, but I don't think they ever will.
No, it's not in line with their brand.
No. However, this repairing, getting new batteries into phones, the things that are most likely to fail over time, being able to change those things means that there'll be a longer lifespan for these phones. Apple support their phones for a ridiculous amount of time compared to, you know, the Android, where you might get one or two updates in your phone's life. Having all of these used devices available that could be recycled. So you finish with your phone and it could be recycled into a territory where people don't have as much wealth, and they're able to access the same equipment then on the used market. Now, this is good for Apple because it brings more customers into their ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they might need to adjust their pricing strategies for in those particular territories, but getting the subscribers on board, that's where the money is.
Getting new iCloud storage, new One subscriptions, new Apple Fitness, new Apple Music.
Yeah.
Like you say, they might need to adjust it for a region, but yeah, it makes perfect sense.
So I do, and not just that, but everybody who then buys it is going to be on the App Store. Apple's taking a cut. If they're using Apple Pay, Apple gets a cut. So Apple make money from having a larger user base. They don't devalue their brand because they're not selling low-cost stuff. It's just they're enabling a greater supply on the used market. It's good for the environment because it means devices get used more efficiently. It's good for Apple. They'll make more money. It's good for everybody.
I'll let Tim know.
Thanks, if you could. When you next have a conference call with him?
I've got lunch with him tomorrow.
Okay.
So, in fact, that reminds me, because I've got to fly out tonight.
Some people...
It's going to help with the... It's going to help...
Don't mention the pension fund. We're moving on from that.
Okay.
I have heard as well other people say things like it will help Apple's chip shortage issues if they can recycle stuff. I don't personally buy into that. I don't think they're going to recycle components into new products.
No.
But there we go. Who knows? Certainly recycling is a good thing.
Definitely.
So final thought on this is that Apple, of course, can counterbalance the self-service repair with AppleCare.
Maybe pricing it more keenly.
Yes, and they have just whacked up the price on AppleCare. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I did notice that.
Yeah. In the UK, it's suddenly a lot more expensive to put AppleCare on your phone. But if you have got a really expensive device, I mean, and we in the UK, we're protected by very strong consumer laws. You know, where for 6 years or something, if you get a problem with your computer, you can take it back to Apple and they'll, if it's a fault, a manufacturing defect or fault, then they'll have to fix it free of charge. But what AppleCare does is it just makes life a lot easier, doesn't it? You can mail in stuff and you can, you know, it's like an insurance policy. We sometimes get insurance policies for things. So if Apple gets, bring back the tiered pricing, because they used to do AppleCare and then AppleCare Plus.
And that did bring tears.
And, I think they could maybe convince people that, I might be being very cynical here, but they could use the self-service repair scheme as a means to sell AppleCare.
Yeah.
Because when you get faced with those two propositions...
Well, it is, isn't it? It's like £69 or £49 to replace a screen. Or you can do it yourself. You do need these tools. You need these components. And you need the time and the patience to prise it all apart and glue it back together with a bit of Copydex. Are you up to that? Or would you like to? Yeah.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. When you're reassembling your iPhone, get yourself a can of Copydex.
It's actually a pot.
I don't think that's what they use.
No.
We did have another topic that we were going to bring in, but I have to say the time has probably run away with us.
And so I maybe have to admit, although I did read it, it made my head hurt. So I'm quite pleased you said that.
Okay, so we'll maybe bring that in a future podcast. Which brings us to that point of the show, Pete, where you do a jingle.
Oh, yeah. I actually have one prepared this week.
Do you?
Okay.
Literally, my breath is not bated.
Rumour mill, it's the rumour mill. Rumour mill, it's the rumour mill. Rumour mill, it's the rumour mill. Rumour mill.
Is that it? Are we?
I can even give you the MP3 for that, Tom, so that the listeners can enjoy it in slightly more bits.
Oh my goodness! You've worked hard on that.
No, I haven't at all.
No, it didn't show.
No.
Okay.
I think that's a little prelude for what season 3 Rumour Mills might be like.
Oh, dear. We're trying to get subscribers, not scare them off, Pete.
The comments show that people love it.
Okay.
In fact, last week's podcast did quite well, even though none of us were here. Thanks for that, Tom.
Okay. So on the Rumour Mill this week, I've got a couple of rumours that I spotted on the website macrumours.com.
And
as you can see, I've worked hard on finding rumours this week.
I worked hard on the jingle, so I have no rumours. So.
Okay. Well, the first thing is Apple's VR headset. And these things are being talked about now after the Facebook metaverse malarkey. And AR has been something for a long time. And Windows, Microsoft were looking at this with HoloLens, weren't they, a long time ago. And it never seems to have really made it into the mainstream. General consensus is that Apple is working on some sort of VR headset and that it may be delayed now due to various shortages, but we might see it at the end of 2022. Any thoughts on that rumour, Pete?
I think it's probably going to happen, isn't it? So I'm going to make it green, but I'm also going to add my commentary about this whole metaverse and virtual reality, augmented reality. I don't want it. I don't want it. And I suppose you just say, well, don't have it then. But, you know, you look at, I don't know if you've ever seen Ready Player One.
I'm aware of it.
Yeah. So it's just like when I was climbing a mountain the other day, there's a slight difference. I deliberately kept my phone in my pocket. I did take a few snaps at points where I was stopping and that. I said to my son, who was with me, who thoroughly agrees with this, I'd much rather just take in the experience with my eyes and enjoy it rather than snappy, snappy, snap and then put up on social media or what have you. And I think we lose that a little bit. All the time we edge closer to the virtual, the digital, we lose something about ourselves. You know, this we live on a beautiful planet, but we're very lucky where we live. We live in a beautiful part of the world, but there's beauty everywhere in the natural world. And it's just sad that we're all pushing towards, you know, artificial rather than natural.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think lots of people will be excited by it. Of course, we are old enough to remember a time before mobile phones were really a thing.
Or internet.
Smartphones, you know, a lot of people resisted that for a long time. But nowadays, it's kind of like, you've got to have one, haven't you, to participate in the world almost. And I wonder whether this metaverse malarkey and AR stuff is going to end up like that at some point. And just these boundaries between what's real and what's not, we constantly blurred. One of the things that I read about the Facebook metaverse thing, and I haven't read much about it at all, but it's like, you know, if you live in a crummy apartment, you can stick your goggles on and make it a better one. And that kind of thing. So are people really going to be escaping the real world?
I think people will.
Yeah.
I think people will, because people do it by other means now already. You know, we all do it to a degree. But I just think it's a sad indictment of where we are as a society.
It's one of those things that we've commented on this before, but you know, you watch the Apple event and they'll have these devices like an iPad, and somebody will be doing something really creative. So when the iPad Mini 5 came out, was it perhaps, there was a chap walking through a forest doing a, you know, some sort of college report
thesis or something.
Yeah, and he's, you know, drawing, taking photos and putting all of this stuff. So he's doing this amazingly creative thing, and then, you know,
someone going up an elevator editing a video.
It's escalator, Pete. Moving stairs, it was.
Whatever. They were doing something impractical on a moving staircase.
They were. And you always see this, and you look at these devices, and that's how it's sold to you, and you buy into that whole thing. I'm going to be super creative. And
then you get home and watch YouTube videos.
You do. You watch YouTube and you browse the web, and that's kind of like what... And I just wonder whether AR is going to be the same thing, because there are aspects of AR that always excited me from the moment that Microsoft started talking about HoloLens.
Yeah, like, you know, doing open heart surgery on Erin, if she existed, if she needed it, you know, you could do that with a HoloLens. You wouldn't need to go to a hospital or any kind of surgical thing. I suppose that is one good thing about the virtual reality world, is that, you know, people can actually meet Erin, you know, as a virtual thing, as opposed to, you know, just seeing her on screen when we bother with the deepfake.
That's entirely possible. I don't know that I'd bother with the open heart surgery, though, would you? It's a lot of work, isn't it?
It does seem like a lot of effort, yeah.
So, I don't know. I always saw the HoloLens and the engineering stuff, and you got an engineer working on some amazing project, and I used to think, that's brilliant, but I'm not an engineer working on any kind of project. So I want the thing because I like... the way it's sold, but the reality is that I would sit there watching movies or something. Yeah.
Do you remember Minority Report?
Yes.
That started that, didn't it? The whole thing where Tom Cruise was kind of like playing around and just bringing stuff in and that. And there's programs out there like they do it a lot on The Expanse, for example, which is great from a hard sci-fi point of view. They, you know, they can just flick things up and play with it. But of course, they're using holograms to do that with a virtual reality. But yeah, I think it will be a bit gimmicky for those that buy it like us.
Well, I think for a lot of people, the most obvious application I can see for these kind of things is that you can just project a TV anywhere you are. You know, I want to see a 40-inch TV over on that wall over there, and you can just do it and watch your movie and all of those kind of things. And having real-time information, you know, people will be wearing these glasses and
saying, we've been recording for 57 minutes, that kind of thing. We'll all be walking around looking like Daft Punk.
Well, that wouldn't be bad.
No, that's true. Particularly if we sounded like Daft Punk, that would be good.
I'm going to give this amber. Apple were definitely working on this. Will we see it next year? I don't know. Microsoft have had such a long run with it. It seems to me that this technology is not simple. And it's taking time to perfect.
And Google have tried it as well.
Yeah.
But Apple are very good at taking something that others have tried and actually bringing it to market. So,
with the exception of our next rumor, which is the AirPower thing, which was, rumored for a long time, and Apple ended up ditching it. But according to Mac Rumors, they're working on it again. So this is a something to charge all your wireless devices, and also some other technologies like long range charging and reverse charging and other stuff.
Yeah, so you can basically put your AirPods next to your phone and they'll charge, that kind of thing. And you know, the MagSafe pack kind of shows that in principle that can already happen. So it probably a grabber.
Oh, well, is Apple working on something like that?
I'd yes,
say that's green.
Green.
Yeah.
Will we see it soon?
Not sure about that.
No. I mean, AirPower's been around, announced, 2017? And where are we now? Nearly 2022, so.
Probably a tricky thing to get right. Anyway, there we go. Those are our rumours for the week. And that sort of brings proceedings to a conclusion, I think. So if you're not already subscribed to the podcast channel, why not give that button a little tickle? Yeah. Maybe ring the bell.
Ring the bell. Join us for the live event next week. Really, looking forward to seeing it. Please let us know what you'd like us to talk about, if you've got any questions, that kind of thing. And also what you'd like to see in season three, because this will indeed be our final episode next week for 2021 and for season two. And what episode number will that be? That will be 38, won't it?
Yeah. That's
a pretty good run, isn't it?
38 out of 52 weeks of the year.
38 hours of drivel, at least, for your entertainment and informative natures.
Well, some people have said they enjoy receiving our content, so I have indeed received our content.
And thank you very much for all the kind comments we get each week. We do try to respond. Last week was a bit low on the ground because we were both away, and you know, some weeks are busier than others, but we do read every comment. I can guarantee you that. Mm. And we do appreciate them. If we don't always reply, got that on the mind today. Mm. Don't think it's because we don't care.
Right. Okay, well, we'll stop there, because you and I are about to just have a look at some phone cases and shoot a quick video about phone cases, and we need to let these guys get off and do the editing so that this can indeed be published.
And we need to let the guys that are listening get off and go and have their dinner.
Enjoy your breakfast, dinner or breakfast.
Or lunch or sleep. Cheerio.
Bye, everyone.